It's good to praise Him. It's good to bless His name. We've been through the Holy Ghost car wash this weekend. But I'm not going in the dryer mode. I want to be wet. I want to be washed. I want to be full. Thank the Lord for who He is today. I'm about ready to explode. I was sitting there on Friday and I was like, oh my Lord. I'm not going to re-preach everybody's message, but I'm telling you, every message, somebody would get a little close to what I was going to say. And I would say, oh, wait. Well, that you're too close now. Some of the scriptures have been used, but you know what? We have come to compliment the Lord. Amen. And bring value, yes, Lord, to Him. All these messages have brought value to us. And that's what we need. We need the Word of God. If you want to stand through this, you can. I don't care. I preached a couple Sundays ago. I had 8 messages. I said, if you need encouragement, stand to your feet. And everybody stood. So I was preaching 8 verses on encouragement, because 8 is the number of the new creation. And so by the time we finished, there were still people standing. But you know what? This morning, it's still about the Word of God. We can have all kinds of things and all kinds of events, but if we don't have the Word of God, which you have here, and you need to thank God for the Word. I'm telling you, I cut my teeth on the grace of God. Mark knows, as we were kids, my mom was raised so legal. She was saved 14 times and baptized 14 times. And she said, when my grandpa received the message of the grace of God, she said, my children will know that they are saved. And they will know that if God is able to save them, He's able to keep them. And that's the message that we need. I still feel like my molars are coming in. I cut my teeth on the grace of God, but I still feel like my molars are coming in. Because we haven't exhausted this. We haven't come to that full place of where the Lord wants to take us. But I'm going to tell you today, you have something, and we have something that we need to balance our lives. And my message is really on, it's all about approach. It's all about approach. Everything in life is how we approach it. So we'll get to some of that. But today, if we have the Spirit of God, that Holy Ghost, you've heard about the Holy Ghost, haven't you? If you haven't experienced the Holy Ghost, then that's for you today. But if we don't have the Holy Ghost, and if we don't have the Word of God to balance our lives, we'll be like a bird trying to fly with one wing. And I think our pilot pastor might agree that a good approach would need 2 wings. If he was flying his plane with one wing, it would be bad. I don't know the term for it, but it would be bad. He might come to a crash landing. People today are coming to a crash landing because they don't have that balance of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So I believe in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come on. I know you do. I know you do. My grandson was filled with the Holy Ghost 3 Sunday nights ago, and I thought I was going straight up. Man, I leaned in. I just leaned in. And I heard Him speaking. Pew! I thought, Lord, just take us up. We're going straight up. That's what we need, that power that we're to be endued with from on high. So today, how do we come to the Lord? How do we approach Him? Because a lot of people are afraid of God because they've been taught fear. I've never been taught fear. I don't know what it is to be afraid. I think it's because I'm so silly. I'm not afraid. The last 10 years of my life, I've been exposed to fear. I've had 3 strokes and 2 neck surgeries. And it's been a decade. I just realized it. It's been a decade of a trial that God has just seen me through. How many know that God will see you through? He'll take you through whatever mess you're in. He'll take you through whatever you're going through. And I just got a report that all is well. Hallelujah. All is well. No more blood thinners, no more high blood pressure medicine. He said, take a baby aspirin if you want. And I said, amen. Thank you, brother. All is well. Now we've been released. There's something more. There's something more. You can get so tied down and so suppressed in a trial that you can tend to forget about what else is going on, especially what God wants you to do in your life. And that's not what we want. So we want to be free. We want that release, and we want God to set us free, but we have to keep coming to Him. You know, the Bible says to make your requests, plural, known unto God. That means you're going to make it more than one time. My mother prayed for 60 years that she could go to India. When she was 68, she and I went to visit our pastor in India. The same pastor I told you the story that found the grace and glory in 1974, laying on top of a garbage can outside the Bible school he was attending. Nobody knew where it came from. It just so happened to have the announcement in the grace and glory of my mom and dad assuming the pastorate at our church in Bakersfield. And they began to correspond. This man is a dynamite grace preacher in Vishakhapatnam, India. Now we have 18 churches and we sponsor a children's orphanage. And God has blessed that region by His grace. How did a Grace and Glory magazine end up face up on a trash can? And trust me, if you've ever been to India and seen a trash can, it's not pretty. But that's God. That's God. If He hadn't approached that magazine and opened it and found that address, we wouldn't have had that fellowship. So there's nothing that happens in our life by coincidence. There's nothing that happens. Our steps are ordered of the Lord. God meant for you to be here this morning. But He didn't want you to leave the same way you came in. If you leave the same way you came in, and if you came in empty and you leave empty, that's on you. Because God is here to fill us up. So I just want to look at a few things. I'm so glad Pastor said I could have 2 hours. But it's all about the approach. Do you know in the Old Testament when Moses was working and dealing with the people and God was using them in the tent of meeting, which hopefully we know and I never assume anymore because I have people that come in that are green as a gourd. So you got to go from, you know, entry level to veteran status in your ministry. But we understand that there was a tent of meeting in the Old Testament and there was a place where God's people would be able to enter partially. They had an approach, but they couldn't enter in to the fullness of what was there. It was kind of hidden. It was kind of one of those things that was a secret place. And the Lord said that Moses was going to be the one that could enter into that place. Moses was the one that could approach that place. And the people were wondering and looking on. And they could come in and they could wash. A lot of people have just gone to the labor. We know people that have just washed. It's a beautiful thing to be saved, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing to be saved. You remember the mirrors that in that laver, those mirrors that when they began to wash, when they looked down in that water, there were mirrors that they brought from Egypt that they put in the bottom of that laver. So when they washed, there was a reflection of who they were. You know, and a lot of people just have that experience, salvation. It's a wonderful thing, but you won't, like Brother said, when this trumpet sounds, you won't get a big toe off this ground without knowing the Lord in that fullness. And so they were able to wash, and we see people that have that approach to salvation. I had a nurse one time that worked for me, and she said, as long as I know the Gospels, that's all I need to know. And I felt so sorry for her because that was what they were being taught. That's what they knew. She hadn't had any kind of approach to anything more. How many know there's more today? We've studied and we've searched, and like Brother Copley said, we're barely scratching the surface of all this. And you look at the scripture and you go, wow, there's so much more than we need. So let the balance of the Holy Ghost come and the Word of God come, because if you don't have the Word revealed by the Holy Ghost, you'll be stuck. You won't have that knowledge of what God has for us in His best. God has something better for each one of us today. And I don't mean a Bentley, I mean His best. His best is not things. His best is the blessing and the revelation of God. And I'm still camping on the two natures. That will be my thing until Jesus comes. If you don't get a revelation of the two creations, you're going to be a little skewed in all this. Because we have people that never understand. They're a dual nature. The flesh is dead. But the new man is alive. And the one that you feed is going to win. You feed the new man, you'll grow. You feed the flesh, you'll flesh out. So we've got to feed that creation, that new creation life. And when Moses approached, the Bible says in Exodus 24, God told Moses to come up unto the Lord. You and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship afar off. You can worship. I'm inviting you. There's a certain approach, but stay over there. Just stay over there. And then Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, neither shall the people go up with him. There was a certain approach in the Old Testament. It was wonderful and marvelous. You know, that God worked in the wilderness and built that tabernacle. Our Sunday school department just did a replica of the tabernacle in the wilderness. It took us forever because, you know, you got to teach all that stuff and these little curtains and little dowels and all the stuff that goes with it. But the kids began to realize what it means and what we have. If I could fast forward just a bit, how many know we have entrance today? Access. Full approach. Everything. Unlimited. Unlimited. But here Moses was the only one that really could go in. So his approach was that he went to the Father. He went and he began to have that communion with the Lord. But it was by himself. It wasn't anyone that could go with him. Moses being a type of the Holy Ghost and of the Lord, we understand that he is a forerunner. Jesus has now paved the way, but he's invited us. He's invited us to come and dine with him. When David was approaching Goliath, I love the story of the little hero, because when David approached Goliath, he was approaching him in a battle that other people couldn't understand. And every one of us approach our battles and our trials a different way. Some people fall apart, some people to keep it together, some people internalize. Whatever you do, we all approach our battles in a different way. But you know, in all of that, God is going to see us through. God is going to see us through whatever you're going through. It's not that I don't care what you're going through, but I care because God's going to see us through. He's faithful today. God is faithful. You know, we've been through so much. And when you pastor a small church, and I was telling Pastor Jesse, I get so tired of people saying, how many people are in your church? And now I just say, 1,000. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many, it's who's there. And so in the battle, we've got to say, Lord, teach me how to approach these things in life. There are people being taken down, a lot of wounded soldiers, and a lot of lambs that are fallen. And when a lamb falls, and David had to rush to that lamb, and you know what he did when a lamb would go down? They couldn't get back up. David had to work with that lamb because all their blood had been pooled. They didn't have any feelings in their legs. And there's a lot of people today that are just like that as Christians. We're the precious sheep of God, but people get hit with this and hit with that, and they're fallen. And there's no feeling in their walk anymore. I just feel like I'm in shock and I can't do this. I've been there, I know what it is to lay in a bed and look up and go, wonder where I am. But God, who is rich in mercy, where with his great love, he loved me. You don't have to stay in shock, but brothers and sisters can go to one another and do like David did with his sheep, and begin to work with those saints of God, begin to work with those children of God, and begin to cause people to realize there is a walk today that we need to walk. And we turn into runners after we learn to walk. Never seen a baby just take off and start running. Have you? We have to learn to walk, and then we can run. But some of us need some diaper changing, some bottle feeding. That's the downside of being a Christian. But we have to do that, don't we? We have to help each other along. When David went to Goliath, it was an interesting approach, because when he approached him in battle, it wasn't the normal battle armor that he took. He tried it on. It didn't fit. That's like trying to preach like Brother Schaefer. I will never preach like Brother Schaefer. I'm not Brother Schaefer. I never try to. There are a lot of pastors that mimic and try to emulate certain people, and you can't do that. That armor does not fit you. So when David tried it on, I mean, this little kid trying on this armor, he's like, okay, I'm ready. You can't be ready for battle in something that doesn't fit you. So you got to find out what works. Well, I can tell you what works in the midst of a battle. You have a sword at your disposal every turn and every corner of your day. You have a sword that is the only offensive weapon that we need, the Word of God. So we can lay the Word of God. This has become my machete in certain things, cutting. It's been my Sherpa when I didn't know the way. Amen? It's been my machine gun when I needed God to just rapid fire on something. Come on, Lord, we got to do this. Come on. And I'm not doing it on my own. I'm doing it with your word, because your word is alive. Your word is powerful. Your word is sharp. And that's what we need to use. We're hearing people use common sense today. But I'm going to tell you, somebody has come and sucked all the common sense off the planet. Common sense is not common. We need the word of God in our life. Use the word of God. It is at your disposal. This is what we need. So when David came to Goliath, he didn't come to him in the typical way. And there will be things that come in your life when you approach the Lord, and you'll be real confused, because the Lord is asking you to do something a little different than the 112 ways you've done it before. Come on. You know I'm talking to you. When he said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David said to the Philistine, and this should be our everyday attitude, because David had done something that was revolutionary in this time. He said, you come to me with a sword and spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. David came to him in the power of God. No power of his own. Just put down your whatever and lift up the word of God in your life. Lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, and I will be lifted up. If you draw to the Lord, Jesus said, if you help me with the scripture, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We haven't seen all men come to the Lord, but the promise is still intact. The promise is still there. And how many know the story of David and Goliath? I only have an hour and a half left. If you know the story of David and Goliath, you'll know that outcome. You'll know that outcome. It was not the typical outcome. I've seen God do things, and I'm just stand back amazed. Lord, that's not just what I thought you would do. It never is. So get ready. Get ready for God to do something so different in your life as you approach him in the way that he wants you to approach him. When we look at this, we can see Jesus. We can see Jesus in everything. Last month, I got the biggest Jesus invasion I think I ever had in my life. I sat in the neurologist's office, and he was telling me his stuff, and I was having to hold my chin up, because you just don't know unless you've been in someone's shoes. Nobody knows what I went through. Nobody knows. It doesn't matter, because I just give the glory to the Lord. I wouldn't have been able to stand up here and say anything. When I went through speech therapy, the speech therapist said, well, with your type of stroke, you shouldn't be able to minister at all. And she says, I want to know how you do that. And I said, it's never been me. It's never been me. I don't know what to tell you. I can get in the pulpit. That's why I just wanted to stay at church. I could get in that pulpit and start preaching. I could go and sit down and start mumbling. I'm just telling you, that's how God did it. But thanks be to God. In Matthew 11, Jesus said something to us that is still fitting for today because he had such a good approach. You know how many times Jesus sent his disciples away so he could work? He couldn't approach the people that needed help because he had his little crew there trying to get him away from what he needed to do. And I'm so glad Jesus didn't teach his disciples how to preach. You know, he never taught his disciples how to preach. He taught them how to pray. I remember that day when the Lord said, stop preaching at these people. Start praying for these people. Jesus never taught them how to preach. He taught them how to pray. We need to pray one for another. We get real preachy with each other because we know the word. But let's have a different approach with his word. His word will cut, but it's not to cut somebody else. It's to cut me. I'm not going to cut you down if I think something's wrong with you. I'm going to pray for you. That God would enlighten you. That God would bring that revelation to you. But Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, something very important. Come unto me all. I wish he stopped there. But it wouldn't fit our society today. Come unto me, all. The approach that Jesus had was fulfilled in himself. Because then the word says, draw near unto me. There's no period. It says, and I will draw near unto you. So here we are in relationship. We have a union. I don't have to ask the question if you believe in the union of the bride of Jesus Christ. I think we do, don't you? But maybe everyone isn't at a place where we've seen that fullness. There's a fullness that you can enter into that's different than just a head knowledge. My grandpa used to say, we need to grow a foot. It's about a foot from your brain to your heart. Let's grow in that. Let's grow in our heart, in letting God reveal his word to us, because we won't be able to do anything unless his word is revealed to us. But Jesus said, come unto me. Now here's the misfit scripture. How many have ever been a misfit? Square peg, round hole, all that stuff. My son is a little wild man for Jesus now. But he's all tatted up and he's got gauges. And I think the Lord did that on purpose for me. Because I still love him. Now my choice for what he does, but I love him. You know, all the misfits that we are, Jesus still said, come unto me. His approach was so inviting. His approach was so approachable. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, being in the world, I've been in the world. I know what it is. I wasn't very good at it because I knew mama was praying. My little mother knew the grace of God and taught us the grace of God, and she prayed. And one time we were talking about going to a dance, and she goes, you know, you can go. You can go, but you're taking Jesus with you. Thanks, Mom. Needed that. But when you know the two creations, and when you know that Jesus is going to live in you, you can flesh out, you can yield to the flesh, but Jesus is still in you. I didn't want to take him to that dance. I really wanted to go. I knew he didn't know the latest dance moves. So I didn't go. All through that experience in my life, has anyone ever walked out of fellowship with God? Okay, I'll preach to both of you. The rest of you are liars. If we come to Jesus... Come to Jesus, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Running in the world makes you tired. It's so exhausting, especially when you know. And I knew I had a call in my life. I knew I had to call him. And my sweet little wife, she's like, well, I never really was out of fellowship. I was like, wow, really? What she means is she never ran wild in the world. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Either or. You can walk with God all your life, but you still have to come to Jesus. You still have to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. That's the most logical thing we could do, is just say, Lord, I'm coming to you. That's a good approach. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. Because Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. When we go to the Lord with things, that's the easiest approach, is take it to him. I've learned through the years, I just turned 60. I've learned through the years, if I take things to the Lord and leave them with him, it's easier than carrying that burden. I've had a lot of opportunity to have shoulders down at my knees. Heavy burden. But you take your need to the Lord. It becomes that reflexive thing. It becomes that thing that we just do because I know that I can rely on him. I can go to him when we draw near to him. But we don't want to come to him in condemnation. If you've ever lived or walked in condemnation, you'll understand, because a lot of people live in condemnation because of what I've done. Well, Pastor, you just don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. I said it doesn't matter what you've done. It matters what you do. You come to the Lord today. I had a gal that came down to the altar, and she had lived a pretty rough life, and God completely delivered her, filled her with the Holy Ghost. And like one of those 2 minutes infillings, the ones I like, instead of praying and beating and shaking, that boom, just filled with the Holy Ghost. And she looked at me, and I said, God has given you a clean slate. It's as clean as this piece of paper. And you take anything on that God says is not yours, that is on you. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I've had to work at not being condemned in my life, in the past. But today, I know there's freedom. Because the approach is found in Hebrews. Brother was getting really close in Hebrews. And I hope you appreciate Sunday school. There was a ton of word. You're going to have to chew and chew and chew. That will take you through the week. I'm not saying that you're going to rely on that for the week. But you could chew and chew and chew. I think we need to appreciate the grace of God. My dad taught us never to take the grace of God for granted. Because they were in a place where they used to get it. I mean, just get into it with the legalists. And it became this saved, lost thing. And we're just like, really? There's so much more than that. That's not even a thimbleful of what the grace of God is. That's just the tip of the iceberg. So we've got to learn. It's all about approach. Here's our approach to God. Here's our approach to God. I didn't tell you the scripture on purpose. Sometimes I like people to look up and not look down at their Bible. You can get distracted. Hebrews 10:19. He tells us something really important, because you are not only accepted today in the Beloved, we're supposed to be looking from a heavenly viewpoint. If I'm seated in the heavenlies, that's not a backseat. I'm not taking a backseat to anybody. So if I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that's my viewpoint and my vantage point. So we got to take away this lateral viewpoint, because we're looking at the world and we're comparing and we're looking at things and we're worrying and we're wondering. We have something that we have to enter into today, and we've got to really look at it from that heavenly viewpoint. Look at things in your life and say, you know what? I've been looking around and not looking up. Why am I looking around? And this weekend I told somebody, I'm so glad that this convention isn't about comparing or a contest of preachers. It's a compliment. Because the Word of God will complement itself. Just like a real good marriage. My wife is nearsighted and I'm farsighted. We're a good compliment on a trip. Because she can read the map and I can see the trees and the signs on the mountain. That's a good compliment, isn't it? The Lord complements His Word. There's something that you might not get. And I'm like, I'm all over that. I've known that all my life. Oh, good. So let's let the Lord blend and complement. But Paul said, having therefore, brethren, boldness. And this is our new approach to the mealy-mouthed Christian. Paul said, as much as is within you, live peaceably with all men. I hope you know you're not a doormat. You've had the red carpet rolled out because of who we are. But he said, come bold, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Different than the Old Testament approach, isn't it? Everything changed by one man. Not the president, not that man, by one man. His name's Jesus Christ. And people get so tired of me when I'm asked to preach at different places and they don't really know me. And so then we go do the voila grace, you know, voila, there it is. And you just put it out there. And there's nothing else. And it's from Genesis to Revelation. There's nothing else that you can preach when you see it. If there was food on that table and I was hungry and I never approached that table, I'd still be hungry. You see that? If there was a motor car running outside and I needed to get somewhere and I never got in, I'd still be here. So we've got to take that. But with boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. People today feel like they don't qualify. Well, you know, that prostitute didn't feel like she qualified when Jesus started walking up to her. You qualify, honey. You qualify. That leper, I've been to a leper colony in India. They wouldn't let us touch him. Oh, man, I wanted to touch him so bad. Lay hands on him and pray for him. But those people in Jesus' time, those lepers that were shunned, Jesus said, you qualify. How many have ever felt like you don't qualify? Good. Good. That's good. Because you won't ever qualify. It takes the blood of the Lamb. It takes that ransom that's been shed for us. It's all by Him, by one man, as by a new and a living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Jesus has made the way for us. Stop trying to pave your own way. Jesus has made the way for you. He made the crooked way straight. He gave us that great exchange. This brother and I exchanged tithes last night. I felt like a movie star. Exchanged tithes. I didn't wear it today. He didn't wear mine either. Anyway. But do you know what we've exchanged? I gave the Lord my blindness and He gave me sight. The greatest exchange. I gave Him all that sin and all that heartache I had for a new and a living way. I gave Him all that because He said I could be saved. I gave Him my nakedness. He gave me a robe. And that's the robe that I want to keep without spot, without wrinkle. And we can sit in stuff all week and there'll be a spot. That's why we need the Holy Ghost car wash. He'll keep us clean. Keep that robe spotless. That's the greatest exchange. What you were to what He became. And that's the approach. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am. I qualify not in myself, not in my flesh, but I qualify through the blood of the Lamb. Because He has made a new and a living way. If you've come from a past that has been full of despair, there's a new and a living way that God has prepared for you. Don't be afraid to approach the throne of God. Amen. Don't be afraid to come to Jesus. Because we've all been weary. We've all been heavy laden. Every Christian in this place has had some kind of crippling experience. something that's taking you down. But God wants to raise us up for his glory. We have a high priest, the Bible says. We have a high priest. And he's the one that can make you something out of nothing. He's the one that can lift you up on higher ground. You talk about hinds feet in high places. God is just waiting for us to approach him. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He's not a pusher. He's not going to push you down to make you do something. He wants you to accept that invitation, to let the approach be from you. I want to go to church. I want to serve the Lord. We used to be made to go to church. We said, get up. We're going to Sunday school. Really? Again? We went last week. Get up. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with a pure water. You know that an evil conscience will take you down? And today, people, our society, conscience has been seared with a hot iron. People aren't thinking straight. People aren't thinking. I remember at the hospital, I would say something and people would laugh. What did I say? They just turned it into something ugly. Didn't mean it at all. But because people have an ugly conscience, and God can deliver you from that. I remember being delivered. Don't get me, Brother Jesse. I remember, this is just the truth. I used to cuss like a sailor. I guess it's a sailor, isn't it? Maybe a Marine. And I remember the day that God delivered me from that language. Overnight, no more. It didn't come out. But you know what began to come out? A prayer language. Call the Holy Ghost. That's going to endue you, brother, with power. Double dynamis power. I love that this morning. That was amazing. Double dynamis. Then he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Because he's faithful in his promise. God's faithful to us today. You can become fitful, but God will remain faithful. Don't become fitful in what God's taking you through. He's teaching you something. I just been through 10 years of ugly, 10 years of what I thought was nonsense. Why, Lord? Well, part of it was a direct attack. Come on. On my mother's deathbed, she said, raise up grace Pentecostal preachers. She always liked the Pentecostal part. Raise up. Mark's dad was right there around the bed. We've got to be faithful to God. Be faithful to God. And if you don't know what, you know, when people say, I used to hear people say, well, the fullness of his glory. I would think, what in the world is that? What are they talking about? I begin to understand a little bit of it. Keep approaching the Lord. Keep taking steps to Jesus. Keep taking steps in a bold way. A bold way today. You can come to the Lord. I don't care what you've done. That's not it. It's what he can do. What he can do. Then he said, let's consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And then he said, you really need to approach the door of the church too. That's a good approach, isn't it? Let's keep approaching the door of this building. You can come to Bakersfield if you want. Approach the door of that building. But not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Because a lot of people are not needing to go to church. I really don't need to go to church anymore because that's not trendy. As the manner of some is. But let's exhort one another. Let's go. Go pick somebody up. Let's go to church. Call somebody. Come on, let's go. I've had people, I'll say, let's go to church. Well, I live so far out. I have gas. I have a nice little car. I'll come get you. Let's go to church. Encourage one another. Let's go to the house of God and realize what you get when you get here. I don't think you guys know. I'm just kidding. You're getting something that's going to build you up, that's going to lift you up. And then in a moment's notice. There's not going to be time to put a key in the door for that innumerable company. That's what I want to do. I want to put a key in the door for all that second rank, because they'll be flooding the houses of God. How many people do you know today that know that Jesus is coming but don't really care? I know Jesus is coming. It doesn't scare me. It used to scare me. We'd go home and mom wasn't home and the car was in the driveway and my brother and I, oh, Jesus came. And we didn't go. I knew this was going to happen. Used to be kind of a scary thing. It's not scary when you're ready. It's not scary when you love his appearing. That's the whole difference. Here's our approach made for us. You know, we've heard Revelation 3:8. I promise it was on my notes before this morning. Revelation 3:8. We can approach God because he has an open door policy. Approach him. Come to Jesus. Let's come to him. You can come to me for counsel, and I'll talk to you. I'm not going to give you advice. I never do. I'll take you to the Word of God. I get in trouble if I give advice because it comes back on me. You give the Word of God to people, and they look at you like you're from Mars at first, but it's not going to come back on you. His Word will never return empty. It's always going to accomplish what he sent it to do. So we've got to give his word. But if this morning we're not ready, you know, in some circles that means that you need to come get saved again. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about being ready. There's a trumpet that is going to sound. I still believe that. There are a lot of people that in California that don't see that. And we still preach that. Sometimes you feel like you're on an island, but we still preach that. Because that's what the Word of God says. When they take that out of the Bible, then I'll start preaching something else. And we're talking to people that are pre-trib, mid-trib, no-trib. And you're just like, wow, really? Read. Read. So I just started preaching ready. Let's preach ready. Oh, Jesus is, we're going to go through all this? Really? I just lost my incentive. He's coming for a people that are looking for him, longing for him. We have prepared our hearts for him. That's ready. And do you know what's going to answer all those questions? For pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, no-trib? All those questions are going to be answered at the sound of a trumpet. That's why I don't argue with people. I don't argue with people about the scripture. I just pray for them. I'm going to pray for you. God would enlighten you. But let's stand this morning and ask the Lord, are we ready? That's a huge question. If you're walking in condemnation, you're walking in a place, maybe you just came to know the Lord and your walk isn't really solid today. I know people that are 80 that are still asking the Lord, help me. Prepare my heart. They make me feel like a heathen. But there's still that longing, that desire. There's still something for more. We all need more. I've never come to the place where I thought I had it all. Paul didn't either. He got a lot. He apprehended a lot. But he wasn't there. He wasn't at that place. And neither are we. There are some hearts that are hurting this morning. But if you come to Jesus, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, he will rest your heart. You know, sometimes we need to just relax in the Lord. And that's okay. Don't get all worked up about it. Oh, I did this. Relax in the Lord. Let the Lord fill you. That's what his intention is. To give him our lives. To present our bodies. To say, Lord, I know that I'm not 100% there. Well, guess what? Nobody is. Until we get there. That's where it is. Praise God. You know when you begin to thank Him and praise Him? It's like sludge that just goes out of your life. My dad used to call it bleeding your spiritual brake lines. I don't even know what that means, but it's just emptied out. Emptied out. And the Lord is quickening His bride. We heard that. We heard that, didn't we? It's so true. I want the Lord to do a quick work in me. I don't want there to be a thimbleful of something. Take it. Just take it, Lord. He already gave His life. He already gave Himself for us so that we would be able to approach Him. Thank God we don't have to kill a bunch of animals. That bloody smell in the summer. You imagine? People are too lazy today. They wouldn't do it anyway. I'll just go to hell. People, I'm serious. They wouldn't do it. If you had to do what they did. But now we have a new and a living way. Consecrated for us. My approach today is different than it used to be. Because me and JC got a thing going on. Amen? We do. You get in tune with Him, you don't have to blubber and shake for an hour. I just go to the Lord. Lord, this is something. It may be a need, it may be a desire, but you know what I need? I need You to invade my life. Invade me. Just come in and take over. Come in and take over. Praise God. If you want to come forward, I guess it's okay. Is that okay, brother? If you're hurting, if you're living in condemnation, that's such a waste. There's no need for it. But you don't know that until you know that. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's come and pray. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord.